This is KZSU Stanford. It's Monday. It's time once again for another edition of the Lunch Special. That's Ken Paul Lozada. Ken Paul Lozada, welcome back to KZSU.
Thank you, Bart.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. And by the way, happy birthday today. It's your 79th birthday.
You're welcome.
How does it feel to be 79?
No different.
Same as 78?
No different.
There you go. Ken, you're a local resident of San Mateo County. You live out in Half Moon Bay.
Yes.
You were born on this date in 1932 in San Francisco. You had an amazing childhood that you were put in an orphanage when you were 4 years old. You got out of there. Well, you stayed there for 8 years. And then your stepfather came and got you and brought you back to your mother.
Yes.
You went on to go through school, college, and you went in the Navy, right?
The Navy during the Korean War.
Right. And there's a fascinating story in there I want to touch on today you've told here before. You ended up teaching in the San Mateo County school system for a career.
This was after I had taught in the islands, first in Maui, Mauna Olu College, assistant professor of fine arts.
And we're going to touch on a lot of that today. The other thing is, besides it being your birthday, you have a brand new book out. And what it is a woman over in Half Moon Bay has put together it's more than a picture book. It tells your story as well. It's got great pictures of you when you were a young man. And it's got pictures of your sculptures. And I want to touch on all that today. We've got the hour to do that. So why don't we just start at the start? And I ran over that early part of your life. Is there anything you want to mention about that?
The early part of my life?
Yeah.
Well, I walked up to the first entrance of this orphanage in San Anselmo, Marin County. And had a hold of my mother's hand, and then she put it in the hand of the matron, which was rather scary at the time. And then I watched her walking down away from me, and I didn't know what to think.
You didn't know what was happening at that point?
No, no. It was very, it was like my whole life went into orbit or something like that.
You were being abandoned by your mother.
Well, I didn't know, understand what was going on. And it was haunted me for many years.
How did your orphanage experience affect your life?
Well, it was like a preparation for what I was to go through many years later, not only with war, but with many angry and violent young people and older people. Well, civilization, I imagine. And I was used more and more by, like, an undercover person by authorities to quiet down dissident people or groups.
Where did you do that? In your work at San Mateo County?
Yeah, normally in San Mateo County, but...
You're not talking about law enforcement undercover stuff. You're talking about what? Educational stuff?
Well, it's... Mainly it was education, but law enforcement people did use me. They
really
wanted to use me as an undercover person in department stores and stuff.
Really? Catching criminals?
Well, I guess that's what it is. I didn't do that for too long. I thought it was rather boring, and I'd rather be with in the classroom or be with other people like that.
Now, Ken, I met you. We know each other. I met you about 5 or 6 years ago, and I met you where you live. You have a yard in Half Moon Bay, and everybody in town knows you because of your sculptures. And you sculpt these amazing tree trunks, and you carve them into, you hand carve them. You don't use any power tools at all. You hand carve them into different shapes. And in talking to you over the last 5 or 6 years, each one of these pieces has its own personality.
Yes, I treat the each sculpture or each tree and trunk or root or whatever it is I'm doing like an abandoned human soul, and they're just cast off. So when they're given this personal attention, it's like they start to bloom, and evidently it starts to send out a message to other humans, souls. It really surprises me. I really don't feel I do much of anything other than just being myself. And then here come these different people, not only children, older people, young people, and at first, they just are caught up by this very different style of sculptures right out in the open. No fence, no sign for sale or what my name is or so on. It's just standing right out in the open. And then from there, they begin to talk about, who am I? And I just say, well, I'm just me. And then from there, it evolves into who they are in their real self. And I'm constantly amazed and astonished that I really hardly do anything to get this going, but they start to open up and share their own deeper life. And they're surprised themselves that they are telling me their story of who they think they actually really are, and then they surprise themselves.
It's very interesting. That happened to me when I first met you. We're talking to Ken Paul Lozada. He's a local sculptor. really man of the world. You've done so much in these 79 years. We're not going to be able to touch on all of it today, but how did how did you go, and this is a big question, how did you go from the orphanage and that life after getting back home to turning into this amazing sculptor? How did that journey occur?
Well, I didn't realize it was happening. Let's put it this way. I knew very little, if anything, about who my father was. It was more my mother's side, which was Chinese, Irish, Scottish, Spanish, Portuguese, Filipino, and then raised by Germans and Italians and Irish and English people and heaven knows what else, because that's the way it was. And I was the only Asian in an all-Caucasian orphanage. So I had usually kept a very low profile, and I picked up directions by just paying attention to so-called vibrations. I didn't realize this was going on. It was just my way of surviving. And later on, I realized all those experiences in the orphanage were like a boot camp experience to prepare me for the actual violent and pretty miserable and crass situation of how the world actually really is when it exposes itself to other humans.
Have you seen a lot of that violence?
Yes, I have.
Now, you did tell one story. I've always been fascinated by this. When you got in the Navy, you were in the 50s, the early 50s, and on your way to Korea,
yes,
you stopped off at Nagasaki. And this is 8 years after we dropped the bomb on there.
Yes.
And you got out and you walked through town.
Yes.
And why don't you describe what you saw?
Well, I didn't know what to expect. All I knew is there was all this buildings, and then there were different people just sitting off to the side of the street or wherever I walked. And when I looked at them, I didn't just see people, but I looked in. I would catch a glimpse of their eyes, and it was like I was looking into nothing. And it became a haunting experience to realize that these were actually humans, and what they went through, I can't even describe it today. It was just, I could never get it out of my so-called, I couldn't run away from this experience, and it was a very haunting thing.
What kind of effect did it have on you after it happened? Did it change you at all?
Well, I could never talk too much about it. I could only remember the experience of, I guess you'd have to say, what war and conflict really is, and as it destroys both sides, no side wins. All humans suffer from it. And I had no idea that it would stay with me for over 20 years, haunting me, even though I got degrees and began teaching and all that. But it was over 20 years before I even really started to adjust to civilian life again. And even then, it was still a lot of time going on that I had to adjust.
And that goes right along with your book, The Peaceful Warrior. And I can attest to the fact that when one meets you for the first time, that there is a sense of serenity and peace that I know I got it, and other people that have met you have said the same thing, that you are at total peace with yourself.
Yeah, I don't even think about it.
That's what's so amazing.
It's like surrendering to actually the real person that is inside of me. I don't even think about anything about that. It's just that, oh, here I am. Oh, I'm still breathing. Oh, what's next? And then I just start doing whatever is at hand. And it's like actually living in that moment. And then in that moment, I'm still alive. And in living, I find myself constantly not just doing something, but I need to give back to life whatever it is that's coming into me. So I just pass it on to others one way or another, whether it's in writing, speaking, running, athleticism, playing rhythm. It doesn't matter. It's just to be present wherever I am and then give and never stop giving to other souls.
That was you playing drums when we opened the show. Where did you get the love of the drum, and when did that start for you?
Well, evidently rhythm has been a part of my life. I used to sing a lot with choruses, choirs,
really?
Things like that. And then, unfortunately, I had this major accident in 1993 that severed and some of the vocal cords. And so I turned that rhythm from the voice into a rhythm with sticks and on the skin of drums and whatever else I could keep a rhythm with. And out of that came a voice, and that voice was very simple. It was the beat of my own heart beating whatever it was, and it just amazed me. I mean, I really didn't do it on purpose. It just took place. And so many individuals and people, good, bad, or otherwise, evidently seem to be affected by it. And I don't do it on purpose. It just happens. And I'm as surprised as anybody else when these things take place.
Would you like to play some more for the folks?
Okay. I'll count to about, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then begin again.
Okay. This is Ken Paul Lozada on the drums. You're listening to another edition of Lunch Special on KZSU.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Ken Paul Lozada on the drums, 79 years old today. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't feel
You don't feel 79?
No, I'm just me, that's all. I'm just constantly discovering life, and it just never seems to stop. So when I'm playing these, they just sort of do the speaking for me. And it's a vibration, and it's like the beat of my own heart going out any place, anywhere, wherever I am. So it's, yeah, I'm just as surprised as anybody else what's going on. But I just accept it and go on.
Mm-hmm. Ken Polizzato also has a new book out. Well, it was done by Joanne Erich. She put it together, and it's called The Life of Ken Paul Lozada, and it's self-published on Zenjo Press, right? Z-E-N-J-O?
Z-E-N, yeah. She used to work for Oracle, but she's rather independent and German background and born in Redwood City, but brought up in Germany and other European countries. She has her own story of how she survived herself through many just surviving as a child, young person, and different families. So
she did a wonderful job on the book. It's got pictures of you as a young man. It's got pictures of your entire sculpture garden, which we can tell the folks is on right on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. And for anybody listening on the internet, long way out of here, that's in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you're out in the coastal town of Half Moon Bay, and your yard is right on Main Street, right near the end, right near the foot of Main Street off Highway 92, and that's where you do your sculpting, and that's where you live, and you have some amazing writings in this book too. You she got down and had you, I guess, write for some of the pieces that she took pictures of, right?
Those were written after I do the sculptures, then I would do drawings of them, and then I would write as if the sculpture was doing its own talking about how it felt, that now it was cut down, cast off, and now was coming back to life again. So all I was becoming a mediator for these cast-off trees, sort of like cast-off people.
Would you like to read one of these?
Okay.
Would that be okay, or what do you think?
Sure. Probably the one that is...
These are your words that Joanne has put in the book. Joanne kind of put the book together and wrote some stuff about you, but she also took your writing, like you just mentioned. And, why don't you read a little bit for the folks?
Okay, on the cover is a sculpture titled Hollow Feeling. And this was written in February the 9th in 1994. And I'll read this as if the sculpture itself is talking to me and to any other human. I'll begin. Who told you that trees do not have feelings? Upon whose authority was your destiny carved out before you had any say-so about you? There was no room to let you think or feel where you came from or who you are. You have evolved from a back room in a kitchen off Poplar Street in Half Moon Bay, California. Why do you question your tree nature, when all around you move humans who resemble your nature? They, too, have a space within their nature that cries out for recognition and care. It says, "Here I am. Don't run from me. I want to know if you have a hollow feeling deep within your being that cries when all alone, and no one to share that feeling of aloneness with. We know each other, don't we? But find it difficult to acknowledge that we too walk this strange and lonely path. Trees don't walk, do they? However, when the human closes his eyes and allows the trees to gather around them, a strange ritual takes place with the walking trees. They can do anything that the human allows them to do. They are so much a part of our nature. The question of gender disappears in their presence, and the fire of their spirit begins the dance of pain and ecstasy that allows this simple piece of wood to take on life. This hollowed-out piece of wood has come to strike a chord of recognition in the forgotten and lonely human that at one time felt immersed in the pangs of despair and depression. What do you have to say to these who have had or have that emptied out and hollowed feeling? Possibly, might it not say, feel my surface, touch the skin of my feelings, and know you are not alone with your sensations on life. Plunge your hand into the space that occupies the soul of my being, and know you too have a space in yourself that aches to be touched by another being. Yes, you are alive still. The gift of life is yours to give and share with other tree-like natures and humans that gather around you in life. Welcome to the joy and thrill of being a hollow soul waiting to be filled with life. We are here.
Ken Paul Lozada, reading from his new book, The Peaceful Warrior. You can catch it on the internet at ZenJoePress, ZenJoePress.com. And how's the book selling? People getting it?
Yeah.
You've done a few events, right?
Well, I don't have to hardly do anything. They stop me wherever I'm at, different places, different persons, and I never know exactly what's going on, and then they want to know about this book that they've seen or heard about.
Uh-huh. And so it's on. People can see it online, too.
Yes.
So they're seeing it on the internet, and then they're coming seeking you out, huh?
Seeking me out, or they try and find out if a bookstore is selling it or something like that. Normally, they just come to me and, okay, if I have anything left, then I just, okay, here it is. And then that's it.
Very cool. Ken Paul Lozada, the guest for the hour. And being 79 today, looking back, Ken, give us some magic, man. Give us some grease, because you got that long view. You can remember all the way back to the 30s, right?
Yeah, that's when I was born.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you grew up in the 30s, and you were there in the 40s and the 50s and
yes.
the 60s. You've seen
yes.
America go through all those decades.
Well,
on this 79th day you've been on the planet, what would you say to try to impart some wisdom?
Well, I don't know about any wisdom. I'm just me. And it's to be whoever I am at the moment. And I find living in the moment is the most challenging and yet the most enlivening experience that I could ever have or wish for. And it's strange. I don't seek any of this. It just seems to come to me or follow me wherever I go. So it's... I think all humans have this ability, but many of them, out of fear or one thing or another, try to hide themselves from it, try and get lost in somebody else telling them, what shall I do, or do this, or do that, or can't you do something for me? And I find that the real question for me is, it's up to me. I have the responsibility, and it's up to me to take care of what is already given to me and discover what it is, and then use it, share it, and allow other lives to open up and find out who they really are, and find a sense of joy and peace and whatever else that gives them meaning in life. And that's the short and the long end of it is...
Ken Paul Lozada imparting some wisdom into the microphone. And right now, Ken, can we have you play a little more?
Okay, yeah, it's...
I know how much you enjoy that. I watch you do it.
Yeah, it's just... I won't use words. It's just... Rhythm is like another voice for me. And I guess as a child, that was what kept me going. Anyway, something... As well as many years of running, I've run over thousands of miles sheer, just running. And it's kept me not only alive, but aware of what I call the stillness that is deep within us all, stillness of the soul. So here it goes. A 1, 2, 3, 4. I usually play this wooden drum-like instrument for children so as not to scare them with the beat of the louder drum. So I tell them, this is like the raindrops on the roof. So imagine yourself and then I start out very, very slow. And then it picks up as we go along. And then we kick it in. After they hear this, then I play either with the hand or the mallets on the head of the African drum, sort of like this. And then it goes a little bit more the African or Latin American style. Sticks, and with the hands, it's very much the African and any other country in the world. They dance to this by how the sound, when the hand hits, every time it hits the head, they're doing a different movement in the upper or lower part of their body. So it goes something like this. Usually starts out very slow and then they work it up until maybe some of you have seen it. It doesn't seem like their feet touch the floor or the ground anymore. They're like they're in midair. So I'll bring it up gradually so that you get the unders. Hear it anyway. Now I'm picking it up. And when you hear it going very, very fast, that means they're actually dancing to that rhythm.
Ken Paul Lozada on the African drum. And Ken, just before you started to play, you mentioned you were a runner, and we've talked about this before, and one of your roles in the San Mateo County educational system was you were a track coach, right?
Track and field and cross country, yes.
And so you taught a lot of students, not just taught, but I mean you were the coach, so you had a lot of kids underneath you, and you ran yourself too, right?
Yeah, I would challenge them to run up hills or grades, and then I would tell them to follow me, so that I wasn't just telling them what to do, I would show them and lead them what to do. And many, many years later, different people would come back and connect with me. I didn't know who they were, and then they would say, I either said something or I did something that they never forgot. Of course, I don't keep track of this. I'm just myself. So I realize that no matter who we are, we leave an impression on others, either spoken or unspoken, either acted or not acted, but it's what in our heart and our inner being that is passed on to each other.
Did any of your athletic students go on to, say, the Olympics or a professional career?
Yeah, they probably did.
They didn't come back and tell you, though, huh?
I didn't keep track of most of them. I just let them go and do their thing.
Sure.
And, yeah. I'm just amazed that I just kept doing what I was doing. And yeah, I would watch Olympics when I was in the military. I actually took time out to try out for the Olympics. But I forget where it was. Not Bakersfield.
You tried out for the Olympics?
As a runner? Well, but I was in the Navy at the time.
As a runner?
Yeah, yeah. Probably a 5,000 or 10,000 meter. That's the 3 mile route around the track, or the 6 mile long distance race. But I wasn't in the best of condition, being on a ship, and so it was all right though. The Modesto. Relays, yeah, that's it.
That would have been the early 50s then, right?
Yes, yes.
Ken Paul Lozada, the new book, Peaceful Warrior, out on Zenjo Press. And you can see Ken's work on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. And like you said, Ken, a lot of people will come up and assume that you're sculpting this stuff for sale. And they'll say, well, how much? And I've seen you do this and just go, how much for what? These are my friends. And you've got pieces around town now, too. When you drive up and down Main Street, you've got pieces strategically placed. Talk about that a little bit.
Well,
these are just people who have businesses who want to have one of your pieces out in front?
Yeah, yeah. they just I didn't understand at first. They just wanted to spruce up the place or something like that. But
would they come and pick the piece, or would you pick the piece for them?
It would be both ways. Anything that I would let go, then they would, of course, pick it up and take it. No, it's... All I know is I just do it, and I could care less where it goes. It just goes.
Ken, Paul Lozada. Well, you're itching to play those drums, so why don't we let you play drums some? What do you think?
Okay.
Ken Paul Lozada is on two African drums now with the mallets.
Actually, the Latin American rhythm got into me, too. So it's when I started doing something like this. Something like that.
And you said the South American rhythm got into you. Now, where did that come from, that influence?
Probably when I was back in high school, I would listen to Gene Krupa. Of course, I didn't know who he was. And that started me on another thing. And then later on, I would listen to other musicians playing. And I guess the rhythm from, whatever I heard, it would strike a chord with me, and then I would just start playing it. It just became sort of natural. And then it probably, I didn't realize, I had no idea who my father really was, and then later on I was told he was a musician, not just being a chauffeur. And that I probably got a lot of my athletic ability as well, because later on I found out when I was in my 60s that he came from the Lozada family, which was martial arts. And when that was told me in my 60s by an 80-year-old cousin from the Lozada clan, it was just like everything in my background went click, 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 and I had no idea why at times I could move so fast. I couldn't even see what I was doing. And then another assailant or someone that wanted to beat me up, they'd be down on the ground and used to scare the wits out of me because I didn't even see what I did. And there they are, down on the ground. I didn't want to hurt anybody, but neither did I want to get beaten up all the time. So this became sort of a hidden agenda just to keep myself from being discovered too much and being a bully or anything like that. So I just simply kept it to myself. And now I realize that all the rhythm, all the athletic ability, and anything that took place in my life, even up to today, is a gift from just simply being who I am in the moment, and that's it. I didn't train or anything like that to be that. It was just who I was. So whoever you are, just accept yourself and take the best part of yourself and share it and lift another spirit, lift another soul to another higher plane in their own being, and you'll be fine and you'll like it.
K Ken Paul Lozada, 79 years old today, born on this date, 1932, in San Francisco. Once again, happy birthday to you, Ken. Now, Ken, you brought another book today. You brought a book, and it has to do with the church you go to. Do you want to speak about that at all?
Yeah, it's not exactly a church.
What is it?
It's the title is The Way of the Eternal, the Shariat Key Sugmod. And Sugmod is the name for, you'd call it God or Jehovah or whatever you want to call it, or the Supreme Being. And it's older than any written works. I didn't realize it, but the more I go through it, the more I realize it mirrors it in not just words, but it gives back impressions of who we actually really are as sacred beings. Call it soul or heart or whatever you want to call it, or call it G-O-D, God, or Jehovah, or Mahanta, or whatever name you want to call it. But it's like every last single human being that's been on the face of this planet and in other universes still is run, and we are called to come back to what's called the ocean of love and mercy on the much higher plane beyond anything we can ever imagine or think. And I realize that this is probably what has gotten hold of me way before I even knew it. I was trained in theology and biblical teaching and all that, but before any of that became a part of me, I realized even as a baby and a child, I was being protected and guided, so that no matter where I went or what I did, I was on orders from headquarters to pay attention and take responsibility for whatever gifts were given to me. So that's sort of how it goes, you know. No promotion, no agency, no this or that. It's just simply relaxing and sharing from the heart and the soul of who I really am. And when I do that, good, I get out of my own way, and then I watch in amazement lives just taking huge steps and growing and reaching out and touching other lives. So I don't believe in cornering people and telling them, hey, you got to do this or they got to do that. You don't got to do anything except be who you really are. And in doing that, that's it. It's just you're getting in touch with who you really are in the eternal being that you really are.
How long have you been in touch with who you really are?
Oh, goodness gracious. Probably as a baby, I can remember things. Seems strange, but it's like I can remember animals coming to me. I can remember policemen and firemen rescuing me when I was caught in between alleyways and things in San Francisco. And I can remember, for instance, a dog. I didn't realize at the time he was a canine dog, a German Shepherd, that when I was lost on Mount Tamalpais and it was nighttime, I got separated from a group that I was on hiking with from the orphanage, and it was getting dark, and I was in Mill Valley, and the orphanage was in San Anselmo. And I was looking around for anybody or anything that could give me directions, and there was no one. And then this dog came up to me, and then it hung around me. And so I just called, okay, Scotty, where am I supposed to go? And the dog just kept following me, going ahead. And I would just sing and play and with my, you know, hum a song or hymn or something as I would be walking along. And I think I was around 8 or 9 years old at the time. and it eventually led me back to the orphanage and to the dormitory, which was two stories high, and went up the back steps. And as I opened the door, it came in the dormitory, and when I got to my bed, it crawled underneath my bed and waited for me. And I got in bed. And then later on, police came. And later on, I heard them say, "Where is this? Where's this canine dog? It escaped from the military installation on Mount Tamalpais." This was during World War II. And then they found it, and it had to leave. Scotty is what I call it. And later on, I realized that because of this dog that protected me and guided me back, I never forgot it. It was a very much of an illustration of how if we give ourselves to our own nature and a willingness to be who we really are, we'll be protected. Good, bad, or otherwise, we are protected, and then we have something to do.
Very cool. Wisdom, 79-year-old wisdom from one Ken Paul Lozada. You can meet Ken at his sculpture garden on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. He's there working most days. You can get a copy of his book, The Peaceful Warrior. It's a beautiful little read and great pictures of all your work. And there's some great photographs of you as a young man in here, too. You were a strapping kid, man. Well, we're just about out of time here, okay. But you want to take us out playing, or you sure. Want to play another piece for the folks? Ken Paul Lozada on the drums. Paul Lozada on the drums. Ken?
Yes?
On this 79th birthday of yours?
Yes.
You got any plans?
Just keep breathing.
And what about the future? What about your future?
My future happens every day. I'm just constantly being surprised every now and then, more often than not, of how doors continue to open to me, to people want to hear my story or one thing or another. Or
somebody came and got you and took you up north and put you in their film, didn't they?
Oh yeah,
you played a shaman.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they.
Just one of the guys, one of the people that's approached you at your yard watching you work, right? Is that how you met the person?
Yeah, it was another fellow named Michael Powers who introduced me to this filmmaker, and they were looking for someone who would, that they could relate to, who could be used in a international documentary of a film of shaman around the world, and they wanted to know anyone that was in this area where he was, which was the coastline of California. And so the person asked me to come and see this guy, and I didn't think anything of it at the time. So, all right, sure. And then when I played, he says, okay, can you be available, and we want you to come and play in a sea cave down by Davenport. And then after that, he says, are you still available? Because we want you to play in the snow up in the mountains, maybe 7,000 feet in a snow cave. And I thought, yeah, okay, sure. And I didn't think anything of it. And then about a month later, he came, and then they took me up to the snow country in the Sierras. And then I had a speaking part up there with telling somebody to carry the drum and do all that sort of, I guess, silly stuff. And anyway, it's supposed to come out in a year or so. That was just one thing. And then the latest has been a film producers from Hollywood. They saw my sculptures and they wanted to borrow three of them to use them on, as settings, as backdrops in the filming of surfing movie? Yeah.
So. Oh, really? Yeah, they're doing a surfing movie about a legendary surfer.
Yeah, right.
They approached you, huh?
Oh, yeah, and then they just wanted to use these three particular sculptures.
Did they take them? Did they borrow them?
Oh, yeah. Did they
bring them back, or they still
got
them?
Oh, yeah. No,
They brought them back?
They took a big truck, and then they got a check later on. I was surprised, and, you know, just for borrowing a sculpture.
Yeah.
But I've had that happen before by some other movie people.
Mm-hmm.
That happens every so often.
Ken Paul Lozada has been the guest for the hour. I want to wish you a happy birthday, Ken. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Bird.
Bert. Yeah.
And want to wish you, keep being yourself, okay? Don't go changing.
No, that's hard to change. I'm just get out of my own way, and then that's fine.
Sounds good. Well, coming up is either Holt in the Electronic Groove or Jack or Drew, one of the three. We're going to leave you in good hands. This is KZSU Stanford.